This morning I ask Brother John Chick to come forward, if you would please, to read the morning scripture. John, if you'll come up. Scripture is Matthew 14, 17 to 21. If you'll use the mic, please, John.
And they said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them here to me." Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children.
Amen. The word of the Lord. Thank you, John. Now, Father, as we consider your word and the treasures in it, we ask that your Spirit would speak to our hearts and teach us and show us something good for our sake, for your sake. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there's a thing said in those verses, almost in passing, really, it's something that I really love about the Lord Jesus, and that is that although he himself, as we said last week, he himself is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and all things belong to him by rights. All things were made through him and for him, you see. All things are for his pleasure. He was consistently thankful. What do you gentlemen have? We have only, in the face of this crowd of 5,000 and more, we have only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And taking them and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, eternal King, who brings forth bread out of the earth. Think about just those few simple words. Doesn't it strike you at times what a miracle that is, that you take a plot of ground where there's just dirt, soil, and you plant these little things in it, and all by itself, the earth brings forth bread. It brings forth grain. Scripture says the farmer doesn't know how that happens. Can you explain how that happens? The earth just brings forth crops by itself. First the blade, a little piece of grass looking thing, and then the ear, the head of grain, okay, and then the full corn, the ripened grain in the ear. Okay, that's how it is in the Gospel of Mark. And what do you have to do? You just have to wait. It happens all by itself. And when the grain is ripe, it's so simple, the farmer goes out to the field, a sickle, takes a swing, cuts the grain off to the barn, in the barn. And then when he's hungry, he takes a little bit of the grain and grinds it up, a little salt, water, yeast, in the oven, bread. Don't you love bread?
Yes.
Isn't bread really good? Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, eternal King, who brings forth bread out of the earth. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, eternal King, who bringeth forth the fruit of the vine. Okay, this weedy thing grows up a pole, or it grows along a rope, and it has these purple things on it that you can take them and squish them, and the juice comes out and you can drink it, and it's really good too, isn't it? It's really good. How does that happen? Thank you, Lord, for this food on our table. It just came out of the ground. In the Gospels, thanks appears on the lips of Jesus 7 times, and that's not counting the doubles. You know, you have this same episode in Mark, so I'm not counting that twice. Okay, 7 times, the Lord Jesus gives thanks to the Father. even after he's risen from the dead, in what I think is my favorite story in the Bible, when he meets the disciples on their way to Emmaus, and they talk with him along the way, but they don't know that it's him. And as the day begins to decline, they say, "Why don't you stay with us? Come in and eat with us." Even then, he gives thanks for the meal, and he breaks the bread, and that's how they know it's him. Okay? It says he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Now, why does Jesus, of all people, say grace? Why does he say thanks? He's the creator of it, so isn't he just entitled to it? So why not just take it? Okay? He always gives thanks. Now, isn't it, for one thing, because he knows better than anybody from whom all things come, why there's any good thing at all? Why does the created order work with any predictability the way it does? It's because God wills to supply these good things to us. Okay, think about it. A tree cannot put forth a single leaf unless God gives it life. Try to define life. What is this thing called life? What is the difference between a live tree and a dead tree? You know, if you look at them, they have the same DNA. They're made out of the same elements. They have the same cell structure. But this one is alive and this one is dead. Well, what is that thing called life? It's not just chemical reactions. Okay, it's not just cell structure. Life is something that comes from outside. It comes from God. And of course, he has filled our entire world with life from one end to the other. Things grow, things produce grain, they produce fruit. Even the animals are given to us for food too. It's because he who is life imparts life. He gives life to the world. The Lord is the living God. He's the living God, as opposed to all the other gods which don't live. Okay, they don't exist. They don't live. He is the living God. And so Paul and Barnabas preached to the men of Lystra in Acts chapter 14. Why are you doing these things? We're telling you, you need to turn from all of these useless things. Listen to us tell you about the living God, the one who made the heavens and the earth, the one who made the sea and everything in them. Turn to the living God. And he hasn't left himself without a testimony. You can look and see that God does good, that he gives us rain from heaven, and he fills our hearts with food and gladness. Those are Paul's words from Acts 14. Okay? The fact that the earth has such a thing as an ecosystem, to use a modern word, it's something that supports life, that is a testimony to the good intent of God. You know, go up to the moon, you can't live there. All right, the moon's pretty complex too, but you can't even take a single breath unless you take the air with you, can you? Okay, God has made this place to sustain life, and we depend on the giver of life to supply us with life. And your own life, it's a delicate thing, right? It needs to be constantly supported. You can't go a couple of days without water, or else you're dead. You can't go a couple of weeks without food, otherwise you're dead. Air, just maybe 2 or 3 minutes before you're dead. Your life needs to be constantly supported. Think of the works we depend on just to bring us food. What if there's a drought? What if there's a crop disease? What if there is one of a dozen other things that could go wrong in a fallen world that break the chain of supply that we rely on to feed us and bring us water each and every day? Now, who knows this all better than the one who was at God's right hand when it was all put together, when it was ordered and designed? Jesus himself gave it shape. He arranged it. He made it all interdependent and interlocking. You know, the every animal reproduces after its kind, every plant after its kind, and the birds need the flowers, and the flowers need the birds, and that's the whole intricacy of the arrangement is from the Lord. Who knows it better than Jesus? Because he was there, he put it together. And so all this comes, he says, all this comes from you, Almighty God. And by your good pleasure, you have supplied us with food once again. And so we thank you. We give you thanks. Now, there are some cooks here, and then there are some non-cooks here. Some people, to them, cooking means a frozen dinner in the microwave, or it means driving through like McDonald's or Burger King and you eat behind the steering wheel, right? That's some people. Some people are very diligent cooks or gourmet cooks. You like to select the very perfect ingredients. You probably have your own garden outside that you take very great care to put up the bunny fence and to spray for bugs and to pull the weeds and to sow, okay, and put on the Miracle-Gro. You have to remember, no matter which kind of cook you are, you're both eaters, you have to remember the fact that it grows at all in the very first place is a miracle. Okay, that is a gift from God. It is something that he has given to the human race, a good thing to enjoy. Now see the goodness of God and think, how thankful are you really when you, say, eat a full meal, or even if you're just having a snack, or even just a cup of coffee or iced tea, okay? We live a life of such convenience and readily available food. We eat absent-mindedly because we assume that the food is automatic, okay? You would just think, today when I go home, there's going to be food. Tomorrow when I wake up, there's going to be food. I don't even think anymore where it comes from. It's ever just there. It's always just there. And so you have to think, like, well, what about your cup of iced tea? You know, somewhere there's a tea plant growing. Somewhere there's a man harvesting the tea leaf. There's a man drying it. There's a man packaging it, shipping it to you. Somewhere in Florida, there's a lemon tree growing a lemon on it just for you. And that lemon somehow made its way to you. There's a sugarcane farm that didn't get hit by a hurricane this year, and so they had a harvest. And so there's sugar for your tea. All these things came together. There's a glass factory that made the bottle. All these things come together to present. Is it just automatically there? No, it's not just automatically there. And the fact that there's such a thing as a lemon in the first place, such a thing as a tea leaf in the first place, that is a gift from God, okay? Just take the time to think about what it all depends on. Jesus gave thanks to God the Father all the time. And how rarely, really, the thought crosses our minds how dependent we are, how fragile our life is, how much behind-the-scenes goodness and goodwill has gone into setting a plate of food in front of you. Now, come on, is this a big deal, really? I mean, we're going to talk about saying grace. Is this really a big deal? It's actually among the most serious offenses of mankind. If you want to read in chapter 1 of Romans, the failure of man to acknowledge God or to be thankful. Romans chapter 1 and verse 19 tells us that God has made his existence quite plain. He has made his existence very evident. Even though he is invisible, his infinite qualities are clearly discernible, such as his eternal power, his divine nature, the scripture says, from the things that have been made. You understand, if you search and you study and you see how complex and you see how interdependent it all is and you marvel at its intricacy, it's a testimony, a clear testimony to the goodness and eternal power of God, so that men have no excuse for not seeking him out. Romans 1:21 says that although the existence of God is obvious, people neither glorify him as God, nor are they thankful. And instead, their thinking has become foolish. It's become futile. Their hearts are darkened. They're in the dark. They call themselves wise, but in fact, they're very foolish. Now, that foolish or futile thinking kind of sounds like this. Well, God didn't do any of that. I did that. I'm to thank for my own full closet. I'm thankful for my own well-set table. I'm to thank for my house that I built and for the things that I wear because I work. I provide these things for myself. I have skills and I use them, and so I deserve all the things that come to me. But what makes you different from someone else? What makes you different, really, from someone who, say, has Down syndrome and can't do what you do to earn that money, to earn those things? From someone who, say, like our friend Farron, suddenly lost her eyesight. What makes you different from her? She can't now do the things that you do. Or our friend Pablo, who comes at night. Okay, he had polio when he was a young child. He's confined to a wheelchair for his entire life. How are you different from him? Is it just the luck of the draw? What about Jessie Kite? You've met Jessie Kite once or twice. She's come here with her father. She's a quadriplegic. She can't even sit up. She can't even say her own name. She can't do anything. What makes you different from her, from a child who dies in the crib? Is it just random chance? Is that from yourself? I mean, is that your skill? Is that your wisdom? It's God who gives you an operating body. It's God who made the hearing ear and the seeing eye. It's God who has provided the opportunity of this nation. It's God, the scripture says, who has determined the place you should live and the time of your birth. And we are very, very nearsighted indeed if we think that all of the credit for everything that we have goes to us, that it should automatically come to us. Never to be thankful is a very miserable way to go through life. And I'll tell you why. Because gratitude comes from a sense of being loved. Gratitude has its source in the sense of being favored, from experiencing grace. Okay, this word grace that's so common in the Bible and among Christian speakers. Grace, we talk about gratitude. The Spanish word gratis means free, right? All these words have to do with something being free. Okay. I'm the recipient of something free. I'm the recipient of a good gift, a freely given gift. And in my heart, I should see that God has been favorable to me. He has loved me and he has blessed me with these things. And I should say, what have I done to deserve a treat like this? Am I being paid something I'm owed? Do I somehow deserve God's blessing? No, not at all. The Bible says that God freely gives us things richly to enjoy. He freely gives them. Now, my friend, can I tell you that you are loved? You are loved. Yes. God has made the world very, very specifically, or very good specifically for man to inhabit and to enjoy, to take pleasure in, to take charge of, to engineer it and develop it and to have dominion over it and to be creative with it and to give thanks for all that God has supplied. That is how we give back to God. It's how we glorify God, by being thankful. And Jesus, as a man, to me it's amazing how he came down and he experienced, even though he is God in very nature, he experienced that same day-to-day dependence on God's goodness that we experience every day of our lives. He had to be subject to the providence of God, just like we are. Think about those women who supported him out of their own means. What does that mean? It means when Jesus needed a new pair of shoes, he didn't just create one, right? Isn't that what I would have done? Oh, I needed a new robe. Isn't that how Satan tempted him? You need food. Why don't you just command these stones to become bread? No, he relied on God's providence. And so he had these women who loved him, and they either made him a new pair of shoes or fixed his shoes. Or, you know, it says in the John chapter 4, his disciples went into town to buy food. Before he started on his ministry, he was a carpenter, and so he worked and labored and, you know, broke a sweat, and he sold the things that he made to pay for his own sustenance. Hey, he depended on God's providence just like you and I do.
Amen.
He didn't just take. He didn't just assume that what's coming to him is coming to him. It's not just automatic with him, and it shouldn't be that way for us either. We shouldn't just assume that it's automatic. Scripture says, though in very nature he was God, he made himself nothing. He took on the form of a servant, and so he was always thankful to the God who sustains life. And think about Jesus' existence, too. It was more than just a bare existence, wasn't it? Okay, he had a home. He had friends. He was invited to wedding banquets. Okay, he had enough. We have enough. And we have more than enough. We have more besides. And Jesus knew that God loved him. We need to know and to acknowledge, you love us, and we thank you. Thankfulness comes from an awareness of being loved. And I think that's it. Even more so than the first reason. You know, we say, why is Jesus thankful? And we said it's because he knows better than anybody who's behind it all. But isn't it this, even more so, that his fellowship with the Father was so close and it was so continuous? He says, the Father loves me. This is my Son, whom I love. I am well pleased with him. And even on the night and he's about to be betrayed, he took the bread. And did they just eat? No. Took the bread and he gave thanks. He gave thanks and he broke it, saying, eat this. This is for you. This is my body. It's given for you. And again, he took the cup and he gave thanks. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, eternal King, who bringeth forth the fruit of the vine. And he gave it to his disciples and they all drank. Okay, give thanks in all circumstances. Those circumstances too, you know you're going to go to your death in the next 24 hours? Yes, those circumstances too. How's that possible? It's possible because I know the Lord loves me. I know that his will is good. I know that his plan is good, and I can trust him. And so that's why I'm not really a big fan of the phrase, say grace. Say grace. It's not a big deal, but it's like saying your prayers. Is that really what we do? We say prayers? Do we say prayers? I mean, do you see what I mean? I'm just getting at the nuance of that phrase. We say grace. Well, I say that, and I get what we're saying. Well, before we eat, we should say grace. And I understand, before we eat, it's good and right to acknowledge the hand that's given to us. But I think I'd rather say, let's be thankful. Okay, let's be thankful. And I think just the phrase, say grace, makes it sound like it's a rite. It's a saying that we have to say. It's a series of words that we have to pronounce over our food. It sounds like a formula. That's all I'm saying. But it's not. It's not when we sit down to eat the same words each time. Okay, it's not something that you recite. And I know that's how a lot of people begin their meal. And we say the same 27 words before we begin to eat each and every time. But really, come on, let's thank our Father. He's our Father. He's our Dad. He loves us. He gave us this, and he's been kind to us. Let's be thankful. Let's be thankful. Now, I won't chase you down if you say grace. I say it too. But it's more than just saying thanks, okay? Thankfulness, I want you to see something in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Thankfulness makes the food holy. Thankfulness makes the food holy. And I want you to see that in the scripture. And it's 1 Timothy 4. I want you to see what Paul says to Timothy. Chapter 4 and verse 1, he says, the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, and having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry. Okay, this is false teachers. He's talking about teachers who forbid their people to marry and commanding them to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good. Everything that God created is good. And nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Okay, he says there are people who will come who don't know the gospel. They don't know the liberty that's in the gospel. They don't know the true and living God. And so they have these regulations, like you can't eat that or you can't touch that. They command to abstain from foods. Okay, do you know any religions that prohibit you from eating certain things, even if it's just on certain days? Okay, they're widespread. Okay, don't eat this. Don't touch that. The scripture says that everything that God has made is good, and nothing is to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving, because it is sanctified. That means it's made holy by thankful prayer. Okay, made holy or sanctified means it's made special. Okay, your meal is a gift from God to you, one of his dear children. And he is fueling you and he's sustaining you, yeah, sustaining your life so that you can enjoy him, so that you can give glory to him. And on top of that, it tastes good too, okay? There are people who say, no, you mustn't eat that. You mustn't touch that. Don't eat that. It's bad for you. It's bad for me? People who say things like that, you see what the scripture says? They've departed from the faith. Okay, now, if that's something that you believe you can't eat this or can't touch that, okay, you must know, see what the scripture says clearly, that God has made all things good, and that the one who taught you otherwise is going to be held accountable to God. Okay? When you know the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who himself is the maker of all foods, right? Didn't we say that last week? He is the creator of it all. And himself, in the Gospel of Mark, pronounced all foods clean. Then you can give thanks. And your food, now even if it is a McDonald's cheeseburger, even if it is some of you eat muskrats, okay? Even if it is just a single tomato out of your garden, okay? It is made holy. It is made holy because you thanked your Abba Father for it, okay? Anything you eat is sanctified because it now becomes God's gift to one of his children that he loves, and he's going to bless you, and he's going to nourish you to bring him glory in the world. God says, I love that young man or young woman. I made him in my image. I made him for my glory, and it does my heart good to keep him going, to keep him growing, to keep him shining. And think about it. Isn't thankfulness the real fuel for evangelism? Isn't it? Okay? Can you go tell somebody the good news about Jesus Christ unless you are thankful to God yourself when your own heart is unthankful? Can you? I don't know if it's possible. Because I think all you're left with then is trying to win an argument. Okay, are you going to win an argument and convert somebody to Jesus Christ when you're unmindful of his amazing grace to you? I don't know if you are. Okay, it's only when you do what the song says, stop and count your blessings. Count your blessings and be surprised at how much the Lord has done. Then you can go and tell somebody. Then it's witnessing, right? Then it's something that you've seen and heard. It's not just you trying to win an argument. It's not just you trying to beat their facts with your facts, okay? You're thankful. You're a witness. You're full of the Holy Spirit, okay? We're going to go Christmas caroling next door. I want them to see that we're a thankful bunch. I want them to see that we really are singing joy to the world. We have good news that's going to bring the world joy, not joy to the world. Okay, this is Thanksgiving week. It's not, God is so good. Okay, God is good to us, isn't he? He is good. And so the scripture says, sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. Okay, we sang today, I have a song that Jesus gave me. Do you? Do you? I hope so. I have a song in my heart that Jesus gave me. Yes, I have a place to belong. I have a shepherd to belong to. I have brothers and sisters that know the same Lord. Amen. They love me. They pray for me. Amen. I know the King of Heaven. Yes, I have food. He's so good to me. I have food. I have clothing. I have shelter. I have all of the things I need. I have some happy relationships. I have resurrection is in my future. Amen. I have a lot to be thankful for. Okay, there's a kingdom awaiting me. I have much to be thankful for. And so I love it when God says in the Old Testament, hold a feast to me. Yeah, okay, let's do that. Let's hold a feast to the Lord. I can get on board with that. Let's eat and drink to the Lord. Amen? Let's have a feast. Okay, now you yourself, my friends, you are like a plant growing in the field. Either a wheat or a tare. Okay, either a grain or a weed. Something that can be harvested and enjoyed, or something that is going to be cut down and thrown into the fire. Okay, your life is ripening toward one direction or the other. There's progress unto a final product. Okay, just like the scripture says, first the blade, and then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. Okay, who are you growing for? What are you growing into? What are you becoming? How's the harvest coming along? Are you bringing forth fruit unto life or unto death? What is your character becoming? Thankfulness is a sign of life. Thankfulness is a sign of life. Unthankfulness is a sign that it's death. Okay? Not simply talking about saying grace, okay? Even to a lot of unbelievers, saying grace over the food is automatic. Okay? I'm not talking about saying grace. I'm talking about acknowledging the hand of God the Creator and His Son Jesus Christ in the day-to-day sustenance of your life. That's a good sign that something is alive. Okay? Because when the time is ripe, the sickle swings, the harvest comes, and then there's the inspection, the judgment. The wheat is gathered into the master's barn, the tares are tied up and thrown into the fire. Do you know the master? Do you know the farmer? Are you like the farmer? Scripture says he took the bread and the fish, and he looked up into heaven, and he gave thanks. Father, I know that you hear me. You always hear me. How blessed you are, giver of every good gift. Bless me, my Father. Sanctify me to do your will here on the earth. Let's pray and give thanks. Lord God, you do hear those that you love. We confess to you, Lord, that we often go through our daily lives without giving even a thought to all that you have prepared and done for us behind the scenes to nourish our lives, to provide us with food, shelter, and clothing, medicine when we need it.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord God, for the safe place that we have, for the country that we live in. But Father, we know that you have children in every country around the world. Some do not enjoy all of the conveniences that we have. Some do not enjoy the freedoms that we have. And yet they are still fed by your hand because you love each and every one of us. And we pray, Father, that we would help to show, just as Paul and Barnabas did, show that people must turn to the living God, the one who sustains their lives, the one who made the heavens and the earth and everything in them. Everything that makes our lives glad comes from you. And we pray, dear Father, that as we go into these next few days, that our hearts indeed would be full of song, full of thanks. Pray that you'd give us open eyes to the way you prepare each and every day for us, the way you sustain us. And we are thankful to you, Lord God, for all those good things. Most of all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who set us this perfect example. Even though he was God in himself, he humbled himself. He became weak like we are. He became dependent like we are. And he died in our place so that we could belong to you. Thank you for revealing him to us, from bringing faith forward in those who have faith, Lord. And we pray that you would multiply this and you would bring forth faith in our friends and our family members as well who do not know you. Open our mouths with your goodness, Lord. Help us to teach and to show and to share. For Jesus' sake, amen.